ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. A very special edition as Benfica is here stateside next to us. We got a chance to watch the team play. We'll get into that in a little bit. But tonight, episode number 328 is what we're serving up with me tonight. Dave de Oliveira, how you doing, Dave?
Great, Alfredo. Good to be back on here. Didn't get to experience the games firsthand, but from a television perspective, it was great to see all the Benficas out there last night.
Yeah, sorry, I have to correct myself. It's actually episode 329. Did I say? I said 328, I believe.
28, that's right.
Yeah, 328 was last week, 329 is this week. Also with us, and Cristiano is looking to join us here shortly as we record this, but also with us, Bruno Bach. What's going on, Bruno?
I lost my voice a little bit from being part of the supporter section, but everything is good. We won the game and no complaints.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know Bruno, Bruno's actually been helping myself and Cristiano out with some of the video portion of our content that we've put out. He was actually helping us out yesterday at the stadium. Recording some video. We were recording some interviewed some people. We'll get into that. Let's just look through what we got going on. Episode 329, as I mentioned, we'll look back at the Chivas game. We'll also look back at the game against Fiorentina, which was yesterday, as I mentioned. And we'll look ahead to what's left in this ICC, which is a match against AC Milan. And also, very drawing up or very close, the Super Cup, which is not too far. It's a week from this Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So looking forward to that. Looking forward for Benfica to get their season started officially. But before that, it's always nice to having them here stateside. And they started their campaign in the ICC in Santa Clara at Levi Stadium and 49er Stadium playing against Chivas. Chivas, which, by the way, started their season the very following day. So I don't want to take anything away from Benfica, of course, but they played more of a second string of Chivas because the main players were resting for the start of their season the following day. But take it as you will. It was interesting to see how the team has done so far in the preseason. A lot of guys gelling already. But the biggest question that I have, and it seems to be the biggest question in Benfica Nation, is can Seferovic and Raul de Tomás play at the same time and in a similar position? Dave, what do you think, man? We got a chance not to see that pairing twice. What's your opinion? Because it seems that it's something that's very polarizing right now.
Yeah, you know, like you said, both games they've started off, and Bruno Lage has given them both time to get used to each other. It's good. I still haven't seen too much of them playing together, especially Raul de Tomás. He's not going to be that type of player like João Félix was, where he can drop in towards the midfield and get the ball up to a Seferovic, because he's more of a striker and a finisher himself. So I still don't see enough from both of them, but you know what? This is what preseason is for, to get them some minutes to work together. And I hope that they do find some chemistry, because both of them up top would be a very lethal attack for this team going forward in the Portuguese season. But right now it's still kind of early. I haven't seen anything that has impressed me from both of them, but yeah, it's still early, way too early. They're just developing their chemistry right now.
Yeah, to me, it looks like there's two guys that kind of search for the same areas of the pitch. So sometimes, and you notice that when Raul de Tomás went out in the second half and Jota came in, that the team free-flowed a lot better in that final third. Bruno, what's your opinion on the pairing of RDT and Seferovic. You think that this is something that Lage can make happen? Lage himself admitted that this has taken some work, but is improved. Do you really see Lage benching Seferovic, who was the best scorer last season, or benching a guy that costs us $22 million?
I think Lage is going to try to make it work, and I don't think we're going to really know whether it works or not until we get into the season. Right now he's testing it out. He's trying to put his ideas out to the players, and the players are trying to work it out within themselves also. And, you know, he's also trying different positioning. He says he can make it happen, and it's the famous saying, in Lage we trust, right? So yeah. I'm gonna side with Lage's words that he can make it happen. As of right now, it hasn't been done yet. It hasn't happened, but let's see what he can do.
Cristiano just jumped on. Cristiano, what's happening, my brother?
What's going on, everybody?
Everything good with you?
Fantastic, man. Couldn't be any better. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. So, Cristiano, we just got started. We were just talking about the Raul de Tomas Seferovic partnership, and now that's a little bit polarizing as to whether or not those two could play together or if they're played too similar. And I know that you have your own opinion of their pairing. Do you want to share some of that?
I think it's a little bit early for anyone to really come down to a conclusion. So far we've seen good signs from both guys. Obviously, the game yesterday against Fiorentina, Raul de Tomas got a nice assist for a tap-in goal from Seferovic. There was some good movement from the guys, some good teamwork, some good connection, some good understanding of what the other one likes to do. But again, it's a little bit too early. We'll see how it goes, how things progress. I know there's one more game on Sunday, and then the real business starts with the following game against Sporting. But we've seen some positive signs from both guys so far.
Right. And Dave, one of the things that I noticed was the fact that the core of this team seems to be getting the most reps from Lage. I mean, Diaz and Ferru seem to be the center back pairing that Lage is going to go with. Florentino and Gabriel have seen the most minutes in this preseason, despite what Samaris has become for this team and how important it was in last season. And then you got Raul Tomás Seferovic. So that column, that center column, the backbone, if you will, of that team has been getting the most reps. Do you see Lage changing that backbone as we get into the season and do the official games?
No, I think what these past two lineups, minus the goalkeeper last night, I think that's going to be our starting 11 going forward. It all depends on Andre Almeida's fitness going into the season as well. But Nuno Tavares has been getting a lot of minutes to start up with the defense. And one thing we touched about last season is that Bruno Lage didn't really have a full training camp to implement his ideas, especially defending, because this was a team that had given up a lot of goals last season. I think the most goals over the past 10 seasons. So it's one thing I've been looking out for this preseason is how Bruno Lage has been implementing his defensive schemes. And he's been using the same back line these last couple of games. So repetition, like you said, is going to be key in getting some chemistry built with this defense core, because that's one thing I want to see some improvement on from last season is the way that we defend and hopefully keeping more goals out of the back of the net.
Yeah, absolutely. And, just wrapping up with the game against Chivas, really excited about the California crowd that was able to make it out there. Again, from the two games I've seen so far, not very well attended. Levi Stadium is a monstrous stadium. I don't know the final figure as far as attendances go, but there was a lot of Portuguese that came out and supported the team. I was happy to see some of those guys. I know Mr. Mello is a huge fan, and he had a huge huge hard-on, if you will, for Benfica being there. He was extremely, extremely excited for Benfica being there and getting to meet some of these guys. So big kudos to a lot of those guys out in California. They got to watch Benfica, and seemed like they had a good time. Then Benfica third.
Go ahead. I'll give you some attendance figures for that game and the game last night. So in Santa
Clara. Last night, I know.
Santa Clara was 15,724, and last night was 12,141. So we want to talk about Toronto's poor performance of showing up to see Benfica. But Toronto, a couple of years ago when it was against PSG, was 17,843. So I don't want to hear that excuse that Toronto doesn't show up anymore.
Calm down, Dave. Slow your horses, man. I was in the building. Just because they sold 17,000 seats doesn't mean that there were 17,000 people in the stands. So, love you, Canadians. Hey, but you know we got to slow down a little bit.
Now, Cristiano, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. And last year you were actually involved with the organization. Were you part of the organization? What is the general consensus in terms of these stadiums that don't sell out to watch these teams? Do you think it has anything to do with ticket prices? Do you think it's the fact that it's the summer and not a lot of people are around? What do you think? Why the poor attendance?
I think it's a combination of all those things. I think ticket prices, a lot of people are away, and then my honest opinion, man, a lot of people are not going to like this part, but I think, you know, the Portuguese fan is a fan that demands quality soccer. And a lot of people won't pay those asking prices to go watch what they call, you know, a team playing or to watch one me gobble. They think that these games don't mean anything. So they'd rather save their money. They'd rather go to the beach and waste their money in other ways. And then at the end of the day, also, I think when you're putting a game again, you know, a Benfica Fiorentina on a Wednesday night, when a lot of people have to go to work the next day, I think that also comes into play. So it's a combination of things. But look, I still think that it could have been better attended. I still think that Benfiquistas could have supported the club a little bit better than what they have so far. But, you know, last year they were here. This year they're here again. I think people are just, you know, become spoiled. It's unlike years past when Benfica go 10, 12 years without coming, and then everyone was pretty ecstatic when they got to see him up close and personal. And I think that the new smell has worn off.
Yeah, look, I think that the ticket prices, the cheapest ticket you could buy is $45. That's a lot. And couple that with $30 to park, with which Cristiano and I paid for it. I mean, you got $70 just for one ticket. Granted, you might take some more people in your car, but it's not something that really attracts it. And I think that, yes, that the quality of the teams attracts fans, and star power attracts fans. But when you're faced with $45 and you know you're not buying just one ticket, you want to go with your family, you want to take the kids, you want to take the wife. I mean, this turns out to be something that's a very expensive outing. Bruno, I know you bought tickets for Harrison. What is the consensus? I mean, you obviously hang out with that group of fans that kind of emulate themselves after the No Name Boys from Newark, and they do a very good job, and they did a very good job pulling for the team. But what is the consensus among them? I mean, they go to the games anyway, but is there any complaints about the price of the tickets being too high?
No, not so much. I mean, on our part, there's really no complaint about ticket prices. I think, you know, even if they were higher, we would still be there because we're that crazy fanatic who's going to go no matter what. And, you know, we're going to do whatever we can for it. But I do agree with Cristiano that, you know, ticket prices are high. Even though that section didn't really complain, I did hear a lot of complaining from other people. I think also the fact that it's summertime and a lot of these Portuguese people are in Portugal, you know, so it's not like they can really be here and watch the game, but definitely ticket price has some involvement in lack of audience.
Yeah, but I mean, look, if we want to compare Benfica's game in Harrison this year against last year, Last year was again Juventus. Granted, Ronaldo wasn't yet with Juventus, but you also got a game that was on over the weekend. It was an afternoon game, and of course, a lot of people come out to see Juventus, who has won the championship for the past 25 years in Italy. So obviously, people are going to come out. So I don't know if it, I think, like Shiano says, it's a combination of things. But here was Benfica in Harrison, as Dave mentioned, 12,000. Again, a lot of the players that we've seen, and this, as Dave mentioned, seems to be a lineup. And I don't know if Andre Almeida is going to be ready to play, but this seems to be a lineup that's probably, aside from the goalkeeper, is going to be a lineup that's going to start against Sporting come Super Cup time on the 4th. But look, I think that it's really been fun to watch the progress of Benfica. And Dave, I don't know if you've noticed how well the team has progressed. Early on, there was those tired legs. There was those almost limited movements because the legs were heavy because of double and triple sessions. But what have you seen as far as an improvement from game to game this preseason, and especially in this ICC competition?
Yeah, of course. You're going to get that with every preseason. You're going to get those heavy legs. And as you make your way towards the start of the season, you hope to get those legs under you, and you get those crisps pass and the chemistry between the players. Been really interested in seeing Nuno Tavares' integration into this starting 11. Like you said, it looks like he's going to be in there with Almeida not looking fully fit in time. So been impressed with Nuno Tavares, and wasn't too impressed with Zlobin and Svilar last night, but hopefully
we Svilar don't have to in particular.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have to count on them as being our starting keeper going forward this season. If we do, we got some bigger issues. But yeah, I was not impressed with either one of them last night.
Yeah, and Bruno, let me, I don't think there's much we could talk about as far as the game goes. Look, it's a preseason game. Benfica got the win. I thought they played well in the first half. The second half, they were a little bit shakier. I thought Fiorentina came out better in the first 15 minutes of the game. Then it was pretty even balanced, and Benfica was able to get that winning goal by Kai Lucas at the dying minutes of the half, and quite a blast. But Bruno, what I wanted to ask you about is I know that you're close to these guys, and as I mentioned, these guys that kind of emulate themselves, and they're very diehard supporters of Benfica. These guys that kind of emulate themselves after the No Name Boys. Talk to me about how, I don't know if you know the story, how this came about, how you guys get together, how you guys plan things. What were some of the things that were planned for yesterday? Really interested in finding about that.
Yeah. I mean, this came about because, we're just a group of diehard supporters. And I remember the first year Benfica was here for ICC, we played the Red Bulls in Harrison, and you know, there was no one there, no like real supporter section. Everyone kind of just sat where they wanted to. So the second time around, we kind of just rallied together as a group, and we said, hey, let's all try to sit together. Let's really show the team some love and support, and make the Red Bull Arena into a mini Stadio de Luz, a mini inferno, and show the players that, you know, we live the team as much as they do in Portugal, even though we're a few thousand miles away. So we decided to just buy tickets in the same section, and that's how it all started. And then this year was the same thing. We were all just like, you know, we're sitting in the Benfica supporters section, and it doesn't really matter where you buy your tickets, as long as they're in that section, because we're going to take over the first 3-4 rows, or however, you know, much of space we need.
And a lot of the chants that obviously being sung are some of the chants that are used by the grupo organizados, the depths, or as they like to be called in Portugal. Anything that you guys rehearse, or is there any special chants that you guys save for a particular time? How does it go? Is there somebody that's organizing the chants, like a capo or somebody like that?
They go to choir practice every Wednesday night, Alfredo, 7 p.m. on Rome Street.
That's how'd you guess it? No, I mean, we, you know, the only really timed chant is the 82nd minute, which is Ilzabio song. And then I believe it's the 82nd minute, if I'm not wrong. Other than that, we kind of just there's one main guy that gets most of the groups rallied, but every once in a while one of us will throw a different song out and we'll all get behind that person and just start chanting it.
Very cool. And so how was the atmosphere from that section yesterday? How was the atmosphere for you guys, and how did everybody work out?
Oh, just marvelous. I mean, it's a thing of beauty. I obviously doesn't compare to the real thing when you're in Lisbon, but it's fantastic. And you know, we try to rally the whole stadium whenever we can, and I think we did it, you know, the first time we started chanting Benfica, I think we got the stadium going. But at the same time, you know, it saddens us a little bit that not more fans are chanting, because we really do try to get as many people involved as possible. But we're gonna sing regardless. You know, we're not there to watch the game. We're there to support Benfica and just sing and chant and whatever we got to do to rally everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cristiano and I and yourself, we had a chance to go around before the game during the tailgate time and talk to people. There's going to be some video coming out of myself and Cristiano interviewing some people and just documenting some of the fans that were tailgating. Cristiano, you want to talk a little bit about the experience of meeting people and talking to people and enjoying their company and getting ready for the game?
It was absolutely fantastic, Alfredo. As you know, we have the privilege of doing this podcast each and every single week. And when we show up to a sporting event, you know, a Benfica sporting event, and you have listeners that, you know, obviously they know who you are, but unfortunately, you know, you haven't had the pleasure of meeting them, and they're tapping you on the shoulder and they're thanking you for what you've done. It's, you know, it feels great. And so yesterday we had the opportunity to share a couple of laughs, to share a couple of hugs, and, you know, a few minutes with these fantastic people that take time out of their day to listen to us. And, you know, I had a brilliant time. You interviewed a couple more people than I did. I was more involved in the
You BS were behind the scenes.
Everybody. Yeah, behind the scenes BSing and making sure that the beer was nice and fresh, because, you know, the beer needs to be a certain temperature. And everybody, by the way, got a passing grade yesterday. But, you know, it was still a fun time. And it's always a tremendous pleasure when the Benfiquista family gets together and we have the opportunity to do this, whether it's here or in Lisbon or wherever it may be. It's a fantastic time, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, Bruno, how many of those guys that you were with yesterday are actually going to the Boston game?
You know, I really don't know. It's probably not going to happen. I don't think that they'll be going.
Yeah, I know quite a few people that are going from here, and Cristiano and myself included. And apparently that there's a bit of an egging on by the Massachusetts crowd or the New England crowd. They're really looking to prove that they could show up in droves. And as you I can imagine, Benfica hasn't been up in the New England area and quite a bit. They were in Connecticut about 3 years ago, but that's not really the Gillette Stadium appearance that they usually have, or the Foxborough Stadium that they usually have. So I think that there's quite a huge movement going and getting together for that game. And Cristiano and I are obviously looking forward to meeting up with people up there. And as I mentioned, and as we said on Twitter, don't be shy. Come up to us and say hello. Because you know, we're approachable. We're just like any one of you guys, and I'll be glad to talk to anyone, say hello. You know, we won't sign autographs because I think we're not at that level yet. But yeah, we'll stick around, drink a couple beers, and bullshit with you if you want. That's not a big deal for us, and we actually look forward to that.
We also had the privilege, Alfredo, speaking to João Martins of Benfica TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guy, and it was a fun time. So hope you guys enjoyed that as well on the Benfica TV. Looking forward to doing it again on Sunday.
Yeah.
And the more people that show up, I don't really care about competitions. You know what I mean? It's a piss test. Look, you show up, you support Benfica any way you can. So if more people show up on Sunday, fantastic. If it's less people, it is what it is. Just glad that we're going to get to see Benfica up close and personal one more time here on their North American tour.
Yeah. Cristiano, what have you taken from this preseason? I know that you've been to practices. You've also had a chance to connect with some of the guys on the inside from Benfica, from your experience and from the friendships that you've made last year when you were involved with the team. What have you taken so far from this preseason, both from perhaps a team atmosphere, but as well as watching the team and how the team has progressed in this preseason from a playing standpoint?
It's all business, man. It's all business. Lodge has everyone on the same page. These guys are working out tough every single day. Guys are motivated. I had the privilege of sharing a conversation with a lot of the guys on the other on Monday. And everybody's pretty much positive, man. And they're just really excited to be playing for Lodge. They're really excited for this upcoming season. And it's like I said, man, it's a tremendous atmosphere around the guys, and very positive. Again, I know I've said that like 3 or 4 times, but that's the message I got from the guys, and that they're very focused on getting ready and motivated to start the season off on the right path. Obviously, have a huge game against their city rival and Sporting in Algarve for the last year's Supertaça, or not last year, but whatever. Is it last year's or this year's? It's a Supertaça, right? Does that count?
Yeah.
No, this year.
Whatever it is, yeah. For this year's Supertaça. And the guys are looking forward to getting started, man. Everyone's looking forward to 38. But most importantly, they just try to get in shape as best as they can so that they don't skip a beat when the season starts.
Yeah, and Cristiano, I know that you got a chance to actually speak to one of your heroes, Tarapt. Did you give him any playing tips?
Of course, I did. I give everybody playing tips. That's why a lot of people mute me and they don't respond back, because I try to teach everyone about playing soccer. Nah, but all jokes aside, Tadel Tarapt is a fantastic guy, man. He could not have been any nicer to me. We shared a very long conversation. He gave me
the best part is in these cutting in and out
of what's happened to not just that.
All right, we'll get
as you all the conversation. I've become a bigger fan.
Yeah, you cut out throughout that whole thing.
It was all lies. It was all lies. You guys have to don't worry about it.
Hey, I got a question for you guys that were there. Does it seem like the team was more open with their fans this year compared to other years that Benfica has been in town? It seemed like they were more open and granted more accessibility to the fans this year. What do you guys think from being on that side of the border? When
team? I could speak a little bit to that, and I'll let the other guys also add. It did seem like that. I don't think there was a lot of open practices when Rui Vitória was here, and also Benfica didn't have the functions that they had. I mean, that appearance at the Adidas store in Times Square in New York City, that was huge. And then you got a couple other appearances. You got the appearances at the Casa, and granted, not a lot of the players are showing up to that. I don't think any of the players were showing up to that. But you got a real effort by Benfica to kind of open themselves up to the club. And I know to the fans. And I know that this is not something that's imposed by relevant sports. I think this is really a good effort for Benfica to really expose themselves and to really bring the club to the supporting fans. And a lot of them are paying fans from a distance. And I think I said this on the other day on Twitter. I don't think they could have picked a better person to be an ambassador of Benfica away from Portugal than Luizão. I think that Luizão is he's a charismatic person. He's a kind person. He's somebody that's open to speaking to fans, always has something to say, always has a smile on his face. And I think that this goes a long way. And I think that when fans see that, they really feel that the club is doing something on purpose and is opening themselves up to them. Cristiano, I know that you've been more involved with the activities and been aware. What is your take from this?
I'll share this with you guys, right? The team did not have an open tomorrow, Friday, 10 a.m. There's an open practice at Rutgers University. They did not have an open practice at all this week, but fans still showed up. And Benfica, for the first time that I could recall, did not turn anyone away. They welcomed everybody in. So even though it wasn't an open practice, you know, they still took them in and they were very welcoming to everyone. So obviously time, you know, things have changed. Things have definitely changed. I don't know if it was on purpose, if it was something that they set off to do or not. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, they've been very nice to people. And again, it has everyone talking them up and nothing but positive things.
Let me ask you this, Bruno. And I know that this was something that when Lage took over the team last season, one of the first things that he said and one of the main directives and one of the main actions that he took is he wanted to quickly win over the fans, to quickly get the fans back. Do you think that some of these open practices, obviously he is the man that allows the open practices or not, he's the one that determines. Do you think that a lot of this is also coming from Bruno Lage and the way that he wants to captivate the fans to be closer to the team?
Oh, I'm sure of it. You know, he definitely, like you said, he's got a lot to say. And I'm sure that a lot of that is coming from him. At the same time, you know, he's confident in his work, and I think he has no problem opening up the practices to allow anyone to come and watch versus where, you know, maybe another coach is not going to be as confident in his work, is going to be super secretive about it. And Lage just breathes that confidence. And like you said, he wants to make it a friendly environment. I mean, he just came out recently, when we played, Academica, right? He came out after the game and said that, you know, the things that happened weren't good. It's not family friendly. And, you know, that we should stop it. And I think that just goes to show the kind of guy he is and what he's trying to do for soccer.
Right. He's definitely trying to clean it up. There's definitely an effort from him to, as I mentioned, to captivate the fans. So, with that New Jersey game done, now the last game of the ICC, and Benfica actually has a chance of winning this ICC for the first time. They will play Milan this Sunday up at Gillette Stadium, Foxborough, Mass. And then after that, they will have the Super Cup on the 4th, as I mentioned. On the 10th, they will open their season at Stadio de Luz. The Stadio de Luz that, by the way, the grass looks a lot better than when they played against Anderlecht. So they will open at 9:30 on the 10th of August against Pas Freira, as I mentioned. A quick tidbits of news that I wanted to throw out there before we go. Perin. And Cristiano, I guess I'll start with you. So the backstory is that Perin had some surgery on his shoulder during this time. He's been recuperating with the surgery. And I think that there was a lot of people high on Perin and yourself included. He comes to Lisbon, apparently fails the medical exams because he's still in recuperation mode. Benfica, then it was not Benfica, but the media announced that the transfer is going to be pushed to January when he's good and ready to go. And now it seems that the transfer has dropped dead altogether. Cristiano, what are your feelings, man, on this thing, man? Is it just an unfortunate event?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, this is a guy that when he's healthy, he's a top-notch goalkeeper. Let's be honest, guys. If it wasn't for his injury history, he would have never been, you know, on his way to Lisbon and you know, trying to sign with Benfica. This is a top-notch goalkeeper. But unfortunately, he hasn't been able to get rid of the injury bug. And now it bit him once again. He looks to be ready by December. And we'll see what happens. We have not heard an official word from anyone at Benfica, whether they've you know, given up on the signing, or if, you know, they'll revisit the possibility of signing them in the January transfer window. I mean, there's just rumors going on back and forth right now. But, you know, it's unfortunate because this guy, when healthy, he is a fantastic goalkeeper, and I was looking forward to seeing him with, you know, with a Benfica shirt. But it looks like right now it's, you know, things are on hold, and we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, the other piece of news is Benfica confirming the signature of Vinicius for 17 million. They bought him from Napoli. He was on loan at Monaco last season. There's a lot of people that are high on this guy, and I'll go to each one of you, and you could tell me what your expectations is. I'm very reserved as far as Vinicius goes, because yes, he was great at Stubble. He didn't do well at Napoli, was loaned to Monaco, or I don't even know if he got a chance to play at Napoli, was loaned to Monaco, struggled to make an impression there, or even to get a starting job there. And now Benfica picks him up for 17 million. And look, he could be really good. I just think that at this point, 17 million is a lot to pay for a player like that. But Dave, I'll start with you, man. What are your feelings about Vinicius, and what are your expectations?
Well, at least he's a guy that has some experience playing in the Portuguese league. Like you said, last season he spent the first half with Rio Ave, scored 14 goals in 20 games with the club before being loaned out to Monaco. And even before then, he was in the second division with Real Sport Club. So he does have some experience playing in Portugal. The 17 million euro price tag could raise some eyebrows, but you know, when we're bringing in record profits from João Felix, other clubs take notice and they want a piece of that pie. So it's just going to inflate all these other prices going forward. And that's just that's not just a problem with Benfica. That's a problem altogether in soccer. So clubs know that we've got this profit coming in and they want a piece for themselves. So I'm at least excited to see what he can do with Benfica. He has that experience playing in Portugal. So let's see what he can do up top there.
Talking to João Felix, I was with him today and he says hello to everyone here on the podcast and he wishes Benfica nothing but the best. Just figure I'd drop that in there real quick.
Oh, that's very random.
Well, you mentioned João Felix, so I figured I'd drop his name.
Oh, okay.
You couldn't get him on tonight?
He's a little bit busy.
Bruno, let me ask you this, man. For the amount of money that we paid, do you consider this guy somebody that's going to fight for a starting job?
I mean, is he going to fight for it? I think so. I think every player is fighting for the starting 11 spot. Is he worth the 17 million? That's a whole different question. I think I'm with you that it might be a little excessive. But like Dave said, you know, these clubs are seeing the kind of transfer fees that Benfica is receiving, and everyone wants a piece of the pie. And, you know, maybe it's not the clubs. Maybe there could be some agent influences in there, which is a whole different thing.
Cristiano, I'll let you, it's your turn now. I'll let you speak about Vinicius.
Wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens. I like his touch, but again, need to see him in a Benfica shirt playing, getting some minutes before, like I did with Raul Tomás and everybody else, all the new guys that arrived at Benfica. I need to see a little bit more. If Benfica bought him because they believe in him, yes, you could question the price tag a little bit. I mean, it seems a little high, but we'll have to wait and see what he adds to the club, and we'll go from there.
Is it safe to say that Cadiz is on his way out?
Like I said, on the first podcast, I said I think we all had the pleasure of watching his full, 11-minute stint in a Benfica shirt. We all saw it, and which, you know, obviously I think he'll be loaned out or whatever. I don't think he'll be a part of this club come the start of the season.
Great. The other piece of news is that all three, Jota, Seferovic, and Ruben Dias, are on the verge of renewing their contract, and this is good news for Benfica, especially for Jota, who is a player that there's quite a bit of talent. He hasn't had a chance yet to explode at Benfica, but he's very highly regarded because of what he's done at the national team level, especially being a European champion. So it'll be good if Benfica could secure Jota. Obviously, Ruben Dias is a guy that right now he should be getting a renewal because there's a lot of guys sniffing around, a lot of teams sniffing around, and he should be making a bit more money. I think it's Seferovic, man, is just a reward for what he did last season. And is also an intent by the club of saying, look, we got a guy for 20 million or 20. Was it 22 million that we got Raul de Tomás for 22 million? We got Vinicius for 17 million. We're obviously not going to leave you out in the cold. We're going to tell you that we still have confidence in you. And as a result, we're going to extend your contract, which makes a lot of sense to me that you give your vote of confidence to a guy that was your best scorer last season, despite of all the goals that he missed. Dave, what do you think about Seferovic, man? I know that he's one of your favorites. You got his jersey.
Good his jersey news. On right now. Yeah, you know, like you said, reward the guy. And at the end of the day, if it extends his contract, if another team wants to come by and potentially buy him off us, we can always say, well, we've got him signed till this much, so you have to pay X amount of dollars to get him out of this contract, right? But yeah, reward him for what he's done. He's always got a soft spot in my heart, and yeah, good for him.
Good. I think that's about it, man. I don't know if you guys have anything else that you wanted to add. I'll start with you, Bruno.
No, nothing for me to add except, you know, next time Benfica's around, Harrison, let's make some more noise. And I hope that on Sunday, whoever's there makes some noise and shows some love and some support.
No. From a TV perspective, you guys were definitely loud. I'll give the crowd that much. The people that were there, you could hear it come across the television that lots of support from Benfica in the stands there.
Cristiano, anything that you want to mention before you make that trip up to Foxborough?
Yeah, man, I look forward to seeing you guys out there on Sunday, as Alfredo stated earlier. Don't be afraid to, if you see us, to tap us on the shoulder and reach out and share a few laughs with us.
Yeah, and Cristiano is easy to spot. He's got this aura around him, like the superstar that he is. I think I blend a little bit more, but Cristiano is very noticeable. It's easy to pick out Cristiano in a crowd for sure.
You're just kissing up. You must be looking for a ride to Boston or something. I don't know.
But anyway, just a couple more things. And Dave, I don't know if you had anything to add. I know that you're a little bit upset that you couldn't come to the game, but I won't get that pot stirred.
Just manda Benfica up north to Canada next year. Don't worry, we'll cook them some batatas. Luizão can play for the Raptors. They lost Kawhi, so they need another tall guy up front there, and all will be good.
Yeah. So for my part, I want to really thank the guys that took the time and spoke to us, the guys that came up and introduced themselves. I'm not going to name them all because I might forget somebody, and I don't want to hurt any feelings. But you guys all know who you are. Your kind words and your words of support are very good, man. And really, I was very touched by the amount of support that we got from the fans that approached us and took the time to speak to us. We hope to find the same type of support and the same type of fans as we move into New England for the game on Sunday. So just as I mentioned, don't be shy, man. Just come up and say hello and share a pastel nata with us or share a sagres with us, and we'll be very happy. So that's pretty much it, man. Also, one last thing before I go, make sure you're checking out, if you can understand Portuguese, make sure you're checking out Historia Gloriosa. That is a Benfica Independent project that really speaks about the story of Benfica. The first episode, they had the first 10 years, so from formation to the merging of the two clubs that then made Sport Lisboa and Benfica. And the second episode is the second decade of life. So lots of things going on there. Listen to that. It's interesting to find out how football was introduced in Portugal. It's interesting to find out how throughout the time and even in those early times, Benfica lost a lot of players to their rivals. A lot of the players were unhappy with the rules set at the club by Cosme Damião. And I think that speaks a lot about the identity of the club. And as Cosme Damião put these rules and really set these rules forward, and as people left the club because they were unhappy with the rules or they didn't like the rules, it really helped shape the identity of the club and of Benfica as we know it today. So definitely check that out, man. The first two episodes are out. Benfica Independent Project, as I mentioned. If you can understand Portuguese, definitely give that a listen, man. It's very, very well done. And there's tons of information there. And it's very it's fascinating to hear the story, especially being told by guys that that know it. So with that, we'll say goodbye. This has been episode 328. Bruno, Dave and Cristiano have been here. My name is Alfredo. Next week we'll be back. We'll wrap up the ICC, look ahead to the Super Cup, and we'll have more news as they develop. Thank you very much for checking us out, and take care, everyone. I hope to see everyone in Boston. Later.